Somebody just help me. Do you know grace? As one group, I had no strength of my own. Had no strength of my own. Everything I worked for all my life. Thank you.
Amen. But we can have always back amongst us. Amen. Make us more rich. Make us more. Feel more encouraged. Amen. You know, they went out there. They did their part. They played their part. And they're back amongst us to encourage our hearts tonight. Amen. So glad to know that they could come with all the blessings that they had. And we were blessed. Amen. We had overflows. Amen. It's not, location don't stop the presence of God. Amen. Different places of country and all these kind of things don't keep the presence of God away from people. Amen. While they were there being anointed, the Holy Ghost just passed through amongst us. Amen. We got overflows. Amen. Wherever we were, amen, in the house of the Lord, while they were there praying, God had been blessing us also. Amen. So I believe God is going to give us even a measure of the testimonies and the things that God has done amongst them. I believe we're going to be blessed tonight just having them here to come and just testify of the things that God has done even while they were across there. Amen. But before we go, let's just read a scripture. I don't take up much of their time. Tonight is their time to testify. Amen. We want to hear all in heaven, all in earth, all under the earth. Amen. We want to hear them come testify of the things that God is doing. You know, it's not just in Canada. God is doing things around the world. God is doing things. Amen. Even right here tonight, God is doing great things. Hallelujah. We have to be caught up in the supernatural realm to see what God is doing. Amen. If you just come in just for ordinary prayer meeting tonight, I mean, so much things being done in the supernatural realm. Amen. Amen. Just turn our Bibles to 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 10. Before we just turn over, turn them loose. Amen. We're going to turn them loose tonight. Let them come and say all that is upon their hearts. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Just kind of keep a little quiet, the musicians. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you, as also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Could we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad to have the scriptures to let us know the time and the hour we are living in, and know that we are coming to the final hour. And this very earth that we are standing on here today is going to be burned with fervent heat as an oven. Amen. But God has pulled us out to prepare us. And the things that has been preached amongst us, many, it's hard, many wrestle with it to their own destruction. Amen. Up to this day, they don't understand the things, the trumpets and all these kind of things that have been preached. Amen. All these things, you know, like supernova, they can't see all these things back in the scriptures. Amen. They say that is not scripture. All the things have come from the book of Esther and all these kind of things. Many wrestle to their own destruction. I believe the scriptures that have been revealed unto us, the things that have been opened up unto us, is all to make us ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're glad to have a pastor like what we have. Amen. One God could use to bring these things, not for us to have head knowledge and be heady, high-minded. Amen. But we could have the faith of Jesus Christ in his hour. Amen. To be soon taken out of this world. Amen. We can have our seats tonight, saints. Don't want to take up much of the saints' time. Tonight is for them. Amen. We miss them so much. We've been away. Think of Sister Leslie Ann. And, you know, so much. You know, she, before she left, she called me from the airport. Sleeping late night, almost after 12 in the morning. Say, you know, I can't leave without telling me I'm going, you know. She come like one of my big daughters, you know. And I feel so good to know that people think about you like that, you know. And you know, when I pray, I was thinking about her. And so glad to see her back here, you know, always happy. And give you a little encouragement sometimes. And some of the saints, you know, like David and some of these young brothers go outside there. You know, at every level. You know, we could have some of the believers going outside there, young, you know, not really old people like, but of God and some of these brothers, but, you know, these brothers could encourage some of us, you know, at this kind of level. So we're glad to have them back here, and our faithful pastor is still outside there living in the gospel. So thank God for a gallant soul like that. Amen. We keep praying for him. We didn't realize how valuable God has been, you know, God has been so gracious to bless us with a ministry like this. Amen. Amen. And not that we could just dance along the light. Amen. But the light of the glorious gospel could come and shine into our hearts. Amen. To make us a special people. To make us that royal priesthood. Amen. That holy generation. Amen. A people who will be prepared. People without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. The light of the gospel has come to make us. Amen. Because we can't go in here with any kind of life. Amen. There's a requirement. And the word of God is what will make us realize what we have to come into. Before we take out of this world. Amen. So just like Paul, you know, many things that have been preached to the church back there, and many wrestle with it to their own destruction. The things that have been preached amongst us, not everybody could take it. Amen. I believe the bride around the world, they love it. Amen. Amen. They love the things that has been preached, the things that has been opened up, knowing that the seven seals that have been revealed in this last day. It's not a closed book, it's an open book. Amen. That's why all these things that have been ministered unto us give us a perfect faith. Amen. One of the scriptures say, be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. We can't live under privilege again. We got to live in the realm of God. Amen. Live in a world of perfect faith. Amen. Be conscious that we are the elect lady. Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ. And live like that. Walk like that. Talk like that. Amen. To reflect him in this last day. So I think, you know, the Brother Glory will just come and start. I know he'd like to be. You know, I could call him. See, he's in my group here, even though he may be a little younger than me, you know, but, you know, as one who went outside there, and I believe he's been a blessing to the saints, you know, he could even come and share, you know, testimony. We don't want everybody to, you know, if we give Brother Glory, he could take up the entire night, you know, and just, he could talk and he could sing plenty too. It's two things he liked, amen. So we're glad to have our precious brother back among us, amen.
Moment, why all this? You know, I'm glad to be back with you all, saints. And I must say, there's no place like home, you know. I want to be straight to the point because I know a lot of our saints want to testify, you know, but going out there in Canada for me wasn't a joyride. Many times before I leave, I've been. My wife bear witness. Many times I tell myself, boy, Lord, where you going on? There was many, many things to make me, you know, feel in my heart that the toy, you throw it, you know. Like I remember once I stood up here and testified in a song, peace of God, when I got up one morning, my windshield shattered, you know. Right after that was more chaos, you know. I mean, all my time in driving my car, you get a one flat tire or, you know, one tire go bad, you know. But all your tires in your car to go bad at one time seems, that is, you know. So this went wrong, things started to pop up. I mean, one time, the week before I left, since I was crying like a baby, I want to be honest with you all, because this was not joy ride for me. Satan fought me every inch of the way. There's one time, I remember one morning, I couldn't sleep, pressure, you know, things are leave out. I went out in the gallery and I started to talk to the Lord, you know, crying from my heart and things. You know. I said, Lord, one of the reasons why I'm feeling confident in my heart to leave is because I feel this is what you called me for. You called me to sing your brightest song. I know it wouldn't be easy. There's many obstacles, many hurdles. But I asked him, I said, Lord, what you want me to minister to your bride in Canada? There's a lot of things you give to me, what you want, you know? And three songs came to me, saints, and one sweet presence came that morning. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? I went inside, I lied down after that, and I felt confident, you know? I had a meeting with Brother Lynn before I leave. God, the pressure was so much that spending that little time with him was so, you know, was like a ease, you know? The little encouragement, the little word of advice was so much to me, you know? I told him, I said, when I go to Canada, one song I want to sing is the peace of God, you know? Amidst perilous times. And when we reached Saints, we took the plane from here, we went up in Toronto. But the plane took a little while to leave Trinidad. When we reached Toronto, our luggage was the last to come off the plane. So that caused us now to miss our flight from Toronto to Vancouver. And since when we landed in Toronto, we were hustling, trying to get the shuttle bus, go up to Toronto, and go up to the place where we get the plane, you know? And I mean, it was so much a drama. One time, you know, I remember I experienced Brother Vin and a few of us took an elevator and push a button, you know, going up with this elevator, end up in a car park. Well, with all this weight I had, I never get so much exercise in because I was put in charge of most of the luggage. So God gave me a lot of grace because you pick up luggage, run in the elevator, end up in a car, but I can say, what is this, you know? Push our next button, we came back down to the floor, and God has given us grace to push the right button, we end up where we were supposed to be. Took this shuttle bus now to get all this luggage on. Right away, when I see all these things happening, you're conscious, these things are not picnic, you know? Because once you go in the service of the Lord, the enemy will do anything to bump you off, you know? So we take the shuttle bus and we head down to the place. Why do you reach? They tell us you missed the flight by 5 minutes. Plane gone, you know. And with those shuttle flights, I think that once you miss your flight, that is it, you know. But I remember one thing Brother Vin said while we were in the waiting at the airport there that really thrilled me, you know. He was getting some assistance and he said to me, he said, Lord, I am able by God's grace. Take care of my sheep. Everything is all right, you know? And you know, you see one operating in condition that normally people will get shaky, you know? But the way we, well, that give me more encouragement, you know, and I keep remembering these songs. So right away I realized that what God gave me was in channel, you know? When we arrived, he told me, he said, that song, say we in channel, you know? When we arrived on Wednesday night, they had what they call a Trinidad night that they had just for the singers and Brother Vin, you know, which we sang our heart out, you know. And the songs that God gave me to sing, I sang my heart out since. But one of the amazing thing, you know, to me, being out there, you know, I've heard about Canada before. I got the opportunity to see. But where we were staying, my brother had a map of the world. And somehow I was always attracted to this map of the world. And because I knew where Trinidad is on the map, I was able to locate it. But if you don't know, you wouldn't even observe that I have a place called Trinidad. You know, just a tiny little, you know. And in the midst of everything, one thing has been dominant on my mind, Lord, to think. from a little dirt of the world, you choose a people, you know? I mean, it was really amazing, you know, because I was never a traveler, so I never had opportunity to see big, tall buildings, skyscrapers, so that, you know, was kind of strange to me. But to think that God zeroed down in a little dirt, pick you up, and you were conscious. When I approach my ministry, saints, I want to say this. I am conscious what God called me for. God, I stood here once and gave a testimony. I know when Satan fight me, I know what he fighting me for. But God has given me grace to stand and minister to his people. If it's one thing I want, when the day of reward, I want to know that, Lord, you give me this gift, and with the best that I know how, I minister to your bride encouragement, strength. People may come in your house down, but from my heart says, once I know what it was, what was his purpose, I always desire to do it as humble and as the best way I know how. God bless me a lot. I met a lot of friends. I mean, people came after every service, you know, making you feel like you're some big international singer. But we know from our heart what God has given us. And because most of the songs come from the word that is ministered among us, it is so effective, saints. You know, value the things you have. You know what I mean? What we have is, I mean, God has not, it's not just for us, it's for the bride around the world. And to think that it had people represented, you met people from the Philippines, from South Africa, from different parts of the world, a portion of the bride was represented. And to think that God gave you the privilege to stand before one member to sing what he put in your heart, saying, saints, I approach that with such reverence and respect, knowing that that was a great opportunity. You know, it was to me a real blessing. And I must say, though the battle was intense to the beginning, even down to the last, got sick, you know, I was forced to sing the last song, but God still was graceful that even though forced, I could have sing this song and minister to the saints, you know. Saints, I must say that I thank you all for your prayers, and one, I want to appreciate all the assistance that you all, you know, have been to us in going out on this trip. I want to say this, saints, it was not joyride for me, and let me just say one thing here. When we were leaving, going on a plane to Toronto, to Vancouver, somehow they happened to show a movie. And I think that movie is what set things in order. It had a man on a ship, was training some young people to, you know, do boating and going out in the sea. And since everything about that man reminded me of my pastor, you know? So I sat down on the plane and I see, there's Brother Finn boy, you know. Coming down to the end of the movie, it was so touching, it was a true story. I started to cry. When I got off of my seat, I looked in his direction and saw him crying too, you know. When we came off the boat, I said, the movie boy, he said, boy, that man remind me of myself. You know, he was strict. I mean, the character, you know. I think that set things in motion, because here we are, before he left, he said, I'm carrying out these young people to train them, you know. And since it was a training for me, you know, we most of the young people had to come back. Brother Ken was in charge of us coming from the airport by ourselves. We had no to say, well, you know, just Brother Ken, and to see, well, God, everything was handled so professionally. Luggage was checked, everything, you know, that before we left, Brother Ben instructed us, now watch this, you know, give us all the instructions, and to see where the Holy Spirit took charge. I mean, going out there in this big place, shuttle bus experience for the first time, and to see everybody arrive on time, hotel, everything was, I mean, it was like a piece of cake, you know, but we know all in all was God in charge of us. And as Brother Neville said, when I heard that that plane explode, I said in my heart, Lord, it was your grace that took us, and your grace brought us back. since I know my ministry has just begun. I just say that by faith, you know. But in my heart, every time I stand here to minister to you all, I want to do with everything that God put inside of me. God bless you.
Amen. Missing tonight, but the little few that we have here, we just want to give them the freedom that they could just come forward. If they don't come forward, then I'll call names. Amen. Because at Brother Claus, it wasn't a joy ride. They went out there for. They went out and they had an experience. No matter how small the experience is, they could fall into some place right amongst us here tonight. Even for me, you know, certain things that you're saying, even, you know, I might even see the film. But I know the kind of way how the pastor is on the outside there and dealing with the sheep and knowing what is required, and to know that they went outside there under the divine leadership of the Holy Spirit, you know. There's so much thing I said there, you know, it really, you know, make me feel like I was there while they was in the airport and, you know, and eventually experiences and all these things. I feel so identified with it. So we're so glad to have Brother Ken here with us tonight also. Amen. Real precious brother. Amen.
God bless you tonight, saints. It truly is a privilege to stand before the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ once more to testify of my experience on the recent trip. First of all, greetings from the bride around the world that assembled in Canada. They send their love and their greetings. I just want to go back a bit, you know. Being in this ministry 3 years now, and seeing the grace of God in my life and when He has passed me, sometimes it has me a bit confused to try and understand, you know, what purpose God has for you. You go through that kind of thing, that kind of experience. And I remember last year when Brother Vin approached me and said, let me go to Tucson. And I was still a little confused for a while there until it really hit home. And I ended up going to Tucson last year in September, the first time traveling in the service of the Lord. That experience, when I go back on that experience, and I remember the particular experience in Sabino Canyon, when that Saturday, I and Brother Lopez went up, and just on an ordinary tour, you should visit the Prophet Pass, and you know, we stood at Swan Mountain there, and just where the sun came through the saddle, and those of you who know the history behind what I'm saying here, when the sun came through the saddle, and the sword stuck in Brother Branham's hand, we stood around them, we were praying and so on, and you know, the Holy Spirit, we felt that real present there. And that has always stuck with me. You know, and then when Brother Ben came and said, well, you know, you're going busy. You know, you said that thing, well, you're not a singer. you don't really have an exposed ministry as such, you know? And you're thinking, well, what next now? So, I started giving myself an order to go Canada, praying in the right channel that, you know, God, whatever is the divine will, you know, I stand humble before thee and so on, and I go under with your leadership, use the guide, you know? So, we sat and after Brother Ben had a couple of meetings with us up the hill, you know, posting us as to what to expect, how to conduct ourselves, what to be prepared for, and so on, we left the Tuesday. And I remember him always saying that this is not a picnic, it's a warfare. You know, this is a battlefield, we are soldiers. And I remember when we went onto the aircraft at Piaco here, and I watched the time, I recognized that we were something like 40 to 50 minutes behind departure schedule. And nevertheless, most of these planes have, the pilot have the capacity to catch back the time, or part of the time. So we departed. We landed and we were supposed to land at 6:15. The departure time from Toronto to British Columbia, it was supposed to be 9:15, so there was a 3 hours lapse between landing in Toronto and departing from Toronto to Vancouver. However, due to the delay here, we end up arriving about 30 minutes later. So it meant that the time between the actual landing and the time to depart from Toronto to Vancouver was now shrunk. We saw Satan in all his, you know, in all his subtleness and power trying to distort the world, because he recognized what was in store for him in British Columbia. So his objective there then was to divert and confuse the soldiers out in the field, because when we get inside in British Columbia, you know, he has to step aside. So when we landed, and we look at the time, we had about 2 hours between collecting our luggage and getting onto the next plane. After clearing immigration, we came through. Our luggage was about the last to come down. 17 pieces of luggage, 12 people. So we're looking at loading the luggage, get a shuttle bus, go to another terminal, go to the ticket counter, ticket in, okay? And then load up our luggage onto the departing flight to Vancouver, British Columbia, and then depart. When we got our luggage now, almost the last to move, we decided to head towards the bus. And there's a lot of confusion, as Brother Glenn explained. You know, some people, Brother Glenn was going up, and then when he bumped the button and the door opened, he realized it was a car park and different things. It was total chaos, you know. The enemy was at work. But all inside there, the saints that who traveled, they were being trained, you know. And by revelation, we believe that they were seeing that out here is warfare. It's training, okay? It's not a bed of roses. However, we ended up missing the flight. I think Neil had tried to delay the flight a bit by however persuasive manner he was able to do it. And we ended up missing the flight by about 5 minutes. So it meant that we had to stay in a hotel the night and depart the next day. Brother Herbert Grant, who is Sister Collette's brother, he was there, supported us. Brother Wilton, most of you might know him, he's from, I think, Brother Gerard's ministry in Toronto. He coming past here and he sing many times. And they assisted, they supported us, they supported Brother Vin. And, you know, as Brother Glover was saying, me and Brother Glover attached the title Skipper to Brother Vin, based on the movie that we saw on the plane, right? The White Squall, which Brother Glover explained to you all a while ago. So we watched the Skipper in his whole modus operandi, you know, and we recognized he was moving exactly like the character in White Squall. Perfect fit. But all was said and done, though, but I mean, so we'll overnight tonight, depart the next morning. A lot of you say just sat around, you know what I mean? Some little days, some little confused, some little tired, some sleepy, some maybe disoriented. But the Skipper got everybody together, set, organized, and we head out. Went to the hotel, we laid over, we party the next day, Wednesday, and we head across to British Columbia. On landing in British, this is my first trip to Canada, incidentally. You know, having traveled different parts of the world, this is my first trip, and I thank God that I was privileged to come to Canada under such circumstances, you know. On our landing in British Columbia, we were met by the scenes by the Tom and by the Biscoll and by the Tony Abner and a couple of the brothers from India, by the Moses and by the Jiraj. And it was really a nice feeling to know at least we was relieved a bit, you know. Then there was dislocation or temporary dislocation, you know. Myself, Brother Glaude, Brother Glaude stayed at one Brother David Shubanoff, who was like a prodigal son once, and he came to Trinidad 7 years ago, you know. Came and he spent some time, I think, among a couple of the brothers here, and then he went back. So we stayed at his home, and that was a part of our experience that, how should I put it? It was something different, because having traveled with the minister in Tucson last year, it was like a one-on-one experience there with the minister staying together in a hotel. Now it was like me and brothers who you greet only on a, you know, on a God bless you basis or a time fellowship, but you were now exposed to different aspects and different behavior of brothers. So in that way you was able to enter in now into the feelings of a brother and you could understand him a little better. So that was a really great experience for me on the trip, you know? So I stayed with Brother Glaude, and was me, Brother Jubunad and Brother Chubunov. And inside there, we was exposed to a lot of things, you know, what people are going through, some of the testimonies, some of the pressures, some nocturnal behaviors also, you know. Nocturnal even in the sense that, you know, little snoring and things like that. So you are able now to learn much about your other brothers. And I must say that particular part of your trip has helped me as a believer. You see, because you come in here and you look at a brother and you hear about the past, you hear about some of his conditions, you hear about some of his experiences, right? And you tend to at that point in time, put him in a position and leave him there. But that has helped me to understand believers, to get into the heart and soul of a believer. You know, so you know when to see that brother, I had to pray for that brother. I had to pray this channel, need assistance. I had to express my brotherly love, more brotherly kindness to this brother because of this situation, you know. So that has helped me, you know. I don't want to say too long a sentence because I recognize there are more things to come, so I'll try and just push it down and, you know, get through quickly. So, recognizing then that, well, Wednesday, as Lord said, Wednesday was Trinidad night in Cloverdale, by the way. But Biscal designated that night a Trinidad night because of, you know, Brother Ben, he had Brother Ben to take his sermon that night and the different singers who came up and ministered and song and so on. Between that time and the ministers meeting, we were like kind of free. So we were allowed then, we had the opportunity then to move around saints and to fellowship and to feel the hospitality, to feel the love of the saints in Canada. You know, and it's a different experience now having or being privileged then to fellowship with the Canadian saints, unlike, let's say, the Tucson saints. Okay? Different culture, different behavior, different background. Okay? And I must say, saying we were treated above par. I can't get a word to describe it right now. Right? But we were really treated nicely. They enjoyed our presence. As a matter of fact, the guy where me and the brother stayed, it's amazing to see how many songs he have of saints in this local assembly. And he's singing these songs word for word. Songs that I can't sing word for word. See? Sister Arlene's song, Brother Claude's song. So that goes to show you how much the heart of believers here is embedded in the hearts of believers across their saints. And you know, we mustn't take these things for granted. Songs, as Brother Ben says, goes all over the world from this assembly. Right? Messages from this assembly goes all over the world. And saints in Canada really think highly of saints in this assembly. Okay? And that of course was demonstrated by the manner in which David, the brother that we stayed by, how he easily fell and just walked into songs just like that and sing it with no difficulty. As I said, it was a tiring trip in the sense that, you know, what the Canadian saints expected of the Trinidad saints is to give us all that you have in song, in testimony, in fellowship, in revelation of the word, in everything, you know. And it's like during these services, after these services, they expected you to go out. They expected you to go out for lunch with them. They expected you to accept invitations to go luncheons and parks or whatever it is. So I believe as good ambassadors and ambassadoresses, okay? I think we did a good job, okay? And I must in my heart, I feel good to know that I'm part of this assembly. When I see the saints now, conducting themselves in such a manner that can really make us feel proud here. The ministers meeting, we were not privileged to be part of the ministers meeting, and I really wouldn't make any mention because the minister will take care of that. But the meetings that came up, you know, what I recognize is actually what was taking place in Canada was the 25th anniversary of the Biscal's Church, Cloverdale Bible Way. Okay? So everything was centered around that. You had an international flavor of ministers to start with. You also had an international flavor of the bride. Okay? And what you had, you were seeing people of different culture, ethnicity, different depth in the word, different revelation of the word. So it was like a concoction, you know? And what was actually happening in Canada was a strengthening of the bride around the world. So you find that different ones with a greater revelation, you find the other brothers and sisters who came from, well, let's say, I don't want to say smaller countries, but countries that were less privileged than us. You find the saints were a blessing to them. And, you know, we were exposed to saints from Africa, you know, Central Africa, like Zaire and Tanzania and Zimbabwe and Hong Kong and Philippines and India and New Zealand. And, you know, when you watch to see the depth of revelation we have here, okay, because of the gift the minister has, you know, and to see that there's a greater hunger, saints, and not just hunger, but there's a greater drive of workers outside the wider world. And when you see the kind of they have compared to us, and you say, I looked at that closely, yeah? I think that's one thing we need to look at, because the minister has been driving home, you know? It's the time to run with the message. You know, it's the time to get active. It's the time to go to the Caribbean. It's the time to go to the wider world, right? And when you see a minister in Zaire have an audience of 3,500, a congregation, sorry, of 3,500 people, and his revelation was born out of the message books. Okay, he wasn't exposed to ministers really coming in and preaching and he grabbing hold and catching hold of their revelation out of the message books. And when you see the amount of message that has sprung up in Africa, solely, okay, and then Philippines, and then India, you see Brother Giraj and them down there, there was a video on that. Okay, that touched my heart also. I just don't have time to expound, eh? You know? It shows us that we need to be a little more conscious of the quality of revelation we have here and what we ought to do with it. You know, sense? And I look at that very closely. And inside there, you know, I saw Satan even fought now. Different ones who was coming in from different countries. Like one of the brothers who ministered from Zaire, you know, his son fell sick with pneumonia. He was supposed to preach. So he went through a difficult period, you know, touch and go with the fact that he had to come to the minister meeting. He needed exposure, and then he needed to maybe come and share the testimony of the work in his country, and he said, no, his son was sick of pneumonia. That was one scenario. You had a brother who went to New York to get his visa. He left Africa to go to New York to get his visa. To come to Canada, he was turned down. He had to go back. You see, the next brother who had to get his visa, he had to go to Europe. He went to France. When he went to France, they tell him to go to Germany. See kind of what we're talking about, right? And then there was one particular scenario where me and Brother Joe and Brother Claude, we went across the border. Now, Canada, where we were still in Canada, border Seattle. There's a border across there. So, you know, we thought it economically wise to go across to Seattle to do a bit of shopping. So we had this brother David. A genuine brother, loved the Lord, had a rough time. You know, rough as much as making prison. See, as a young man, 15 years, he committed a felony. So he went to a bank, he took a slip of paper, he write his a hold up, he slipped it to the teller, okay? They gave him cash, he ended up spending 5 years in jail. Alright? Came out, probably reflected on his life, had a cry for God, gave a call and responded. Okay? Decided to serve God. Somewhere inside they get married to a much older woman in the world. Alright? She's in California, he's in Seattle, it's across the border. So to come service means that he has to come service across the border every day. He stays by one of the elders in the church across the border. Services is Wednesday, Friday and Sunday, two services. So he has to be crossing the border. So we went on this trip across the border. Okay, now this fellow, we hunger for God, eh? Sincere brother. See, he was under great expectation in the service. We went across the border and had a whole day shopping because we say, well, Lord boy, this is the opportunity. Let me go see what you can do here now because when we can start, you know, we don't have that time. And then things are much cheaper across there, dollar for dollar, you know. So we came back, loaded up. When we reached now, the border guard tell us, divert inside and check with the counter. So we park up and we went inside. Confident that all is well. Go on to the counter now and the guy at the counter started to interrogate, you know. So, during this interrogation process, he asks, if anybody here ever had a criminal offense? So they will say, yeah, me. You know, and the man in which he's a bit confident because he said, well, as far as he's concerned, he said, we thank for that felony, one, and he said, when the Lord, so all is well. So the guy took his name, went to the computer, punched it up, and get the history of the guy, history of his life, really, because that would have been on the computer. And when he come back, he said, I tell him, well, look, he just drive this car, he have this car, he wife, he said, I gave all the information. It's internet, eh? That's what we're dealing with. And, well, when we started looking at the situation, we recognized the conservativeness of the Canadian government and the Canadian security system. So, even though you have faith, you have to have wisdom to understand this is a serious thing. You know? So, he went on to tell David that a crime like this in Canada is 20 years or no. You know? So, when all was said and done though, he told David he can't go across the border. And furthermore, go across to the border and apply to the local diplomacy there and get a pass. So it means that we had to call somebody now to come and pick us up. David had to turn back, and in so doing, he had to miss the meetings. And that's the first time that ever happened to David. Okay? So it could be that he was under surveillance for a while. But when you watch the way the enemy moved, you know, in the fields, and then came into the courts too and tried to move and moved and extend things, you got to recognize you got to recognize things that the enemy is fighting and fighting the down to the end. You know? Then we came to the meetings, you know, at the end of the meetings was Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I climbed back to the coming up to the end. The word was precious, you know. We had Brother Jeremiah, you know. Most of you seniors know of Brother Jeremiah, have heard the tapes and so on. And Brother Jeremiah was also constrained for time. He had to fly out Friday after he preached, and we had a couple of the brothers that Brother Biscal, and I must tell you what Brother Biscal says. You know, first time I met the man, I always say about Brother Biscal. I heard his voice once. But I must say he's a real humble servant of man. A humble servant of God. You know, this man having worked with the prophet, you know, having been led by the prophet to an extent, you know, exposed by the prophet. And you watch the humility of the man, you know, and that touched me. And you watch the power of the word, the power of the revelation the man has, and the way he expounds the word, and what he has done for this ministry. Because there's a lot of expert I can expound on, but it will take too long, so I need to just go through it, right? But what he had a history of the Bible Way Church from 1971 to 1996. And what he was doing, he was unfolding the growth of the church, okay, in conjunction with a slide or a film being displayed on a monitor. So what you had a live, you felt in your, you were getting a feeling then of, you were seeing that church actually going before your eyes. You see, he bought all the pillars of the church, and then he had a film, he had a slide showing you that the church started in his house, his old house. And he went on until he showed you where the church is today. You know? And but basically, you know, as I said, the man is a real humble man. First time I met him, you know, I even had an opportunity to take a photograph of him and different things. And I mean, when I watch and see how the high esteem he has Brother Vin into, you see, and I'm talking about Brother Vin here, saying Brother Vin is reverend out there. Okay? I hope and I pray in my heart that people don't idolize him. Because when I listen carefully and I hear people just lift him up now, I hope they don't watch the flesh part of the man and they send the spirit part of him, but he's idolized. Okay? But the Biscal himself lifts him up. As Brother Biscal was saying this Sunday morning when he was preaching, he said, Brother Ben will cap off the meeting. Okay? Seeing that the work that Brother Ben, our precious Brother Ben, has done in those ministers meeting, we leave when our precious brother Ben to cap off the meeting. And you know, the spirit that which he set it in, you know, it said a lot. And Brother Ben actually capped off the meeting Saturday night before flying out Monday morning to Norway. And the meetings was really tremendous, you know. What do you see? We see a lot of hearts being touched, and we see a lot of unbelievers, you know. As a matter of fact, I think he was witness about a baptism during one of the services. You know? So what you see now is a quick calling in sins, you know, because it's robing hour. It's time to be robed, you know, it's time to get out. And you see a lot of people being called in. You see? And I had a particular experience, you know, the morning when Brother Biscal was preaching. You know, after I always think I want to start, you know, canyon experience, I keep thinking, why does God have me go on this trip, you know? And that Sunday morning, Brother Biscal was preaching. You know, he takes 2 Peter 1, you know, and he emphasized on verse 11. You know, he took from 4 to 11, chapter 1, and entrance was he ministered, you know, and he took the line of theophany, you know, and showing your position, your place, and how we keep changing and changing until we go back to that glorified body. And, you know, right beside there, he said, I talk about the supernatural and God presence, and a real anointing came down amongst us. And at that point, as he took off his glasses, and I noted that, and I never seen it before, took off his glasses under the inspiration, under the presence of the Almighty God, you know? And seeing people went through a period of weeping. I myself, I broke down, right? I don't want to go too much further into it, but Lord was right there when he ministered. You know, when I weep for a long time, I weep uncontrollably, okay? I tried to hold him back, and I couldn't hold him back, and I cried, 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 you know? Sat down, and then I prayed. Then I wipe my eyes, thinking that all is well, and I go outside and I meet everybody, and I reach outside, I break down again, and then I hug up Brother Vin, and I start to cry, you know? And I really don't understand what happened there, but you know, in a later season, God will come and unveil that, reveal that. But I know something took place with me in that service that morning, okay? But I will say, go back inside and pray. And I went back inside and then I pray for a while and settle myself. And the reason why I had rushed out early is because I wanted to take a photograph of all these singers and Brother Vin before they disperse. And really, actually, what I did, I interrupted the movement of the Holy Spirit within me during that period. I really sat down and, you know, just let the Spirit flow through me. But I interrupted just because of that. And then Brother Vin told me to go back inside. And since, I must say, in my heart, a lot has happened in Canada. There's a lot we could talk about, but I believe we are to leave a part of Brother Vin because he will come and have his testimony. So I believe he will expound on other areas that, you know, the saints really can expound on. I believe saints, as good soldiers, saints, I believe that we have come up with a good report. In my heart, I believe so. You see? We have endured hardness out there, you know, because I end up with the flu, Lord end up with the flu, but as you end up with the flu, right? All of us, cold breakdowns, snappy nose, cold temperatures. You see, and all that is in the process, okay, of your mission on the foreign fields, you see. I believe saints that all the saints who went to Canada will not be the same again, they cannot be the same again. All the saints who gathered for the services in Canada will not and cannot be the same again. Okay? In my heart I believe, in fact in my heart I know that prayers from here went forth and we were blessed. I believe a great work of God took place. And saints, all we are doing is just continue to press the battle. And as you continue to conform and change until time to go. So I truly pray and bless that this little testimony, you know, was a blessing to you in some way. And God will truly bless you all.
Just coming out, amen. God say power, he is like he's doing like that. That rocket is just boosting, amen. So we're not tired. I hope not. Amen. Let's sing a chorus, one of them. I'm so glad I could sing on one of them. If you relax. Amen.
we should be.
God bless you, as mine. Certainly good to be back home, eh? A wonderful privilege to be in the cornfield to witness what the Lord has done in Canada. As Brother said, it was a rough time. It wasn't a roof, a better roof. We were made high by everyone across there, because the ministry is well known, and we are in the ministry, so it is a great privilege. And I just want to say, by God's grace, to the young people, you know, the front field is a good thing, but this is in front, great girl is doing like him. By God's grace, he was to testify tonight. I just want to say that we had a rough time, and by God's grace, that thing was fine. Just want to let you all know that we know you all are praying for us, because the time we had, we could not have that time without the prayers that you all could have before God for us. And we are truly thankful for your prayers. We know that I didn't really sing as much. I know you all might want to hear me sing, but I'll leave the singing to the professionals, Lord and the lesbian. Yeah. I didn't do much. I just sing in one song. If that was okay, I sing in one song. But we had a great time, I guess. It was truly a blessing to be in front of you. It's a privilege beyond the scripture and things. Great, great privilege. And I just want to thank God that I was a witness of the messages and the everything. I just really explain it, because the English dictionary does not even.
Again, praise Norm. Yeah. You gotta call them. I like that. Yeah. Her husband, I don't think he's here tonight, so maybe she must be representing both of them. Imagine you try to take but a joke place and try to stop a whole plane. I like that kind of faith. Amen?
Five past nine, we all outside, saying something for the past nine.
So this time we go way back a little bit, help you with the loving time and get inside. So that's a lesson, only let us go inside. You say, please, it will lock us out. Let us get inside. So end up inside. So as long as I say, Lord, how come it didn't bring and come in this plane, boy? Like something would happen to this plane tonight. I tell him, you're a little bit. I said, I find this one stranger. So, yeah, man. While we're in the air, the pilot come on. Keep your seatbelt on. We have 15 miles of heavy, strong weather, bad weather in here. I said, Lord Jesus. When is the weather? The plane has a rock up and down. I said, no, let me sleep over this thing. Yes, I'm here, but never get to reach. But what I want to testify about is what affected me most in my trip in Canada. I mean, since we had a real good time across there, it was wonderful, the saints love us. But what affected me most when I was there is like the love of the people for the saints in this assembly. I sat and I tell myself, I say, you mean to say the book of love people who they never see, they never heard. But you know what they make us love us is ministry. It's the ministry that preach amongst us, the love. It's not even Brother Ben the love. They love the words that proceed from his mouth. It's not him, because I have been privileged to meet him. Well, I have my videos. I can have brought us to the border. So, I mean, the saying was so good that the Lord had me brought us to the border. That was before 3rd July, the American Saints Fellowship at Discord. They had the day of 4th of July day, so we went across. We got invited to go. Well, unfortunately, Legend and couldn't make the trip. So, they had no visa. So, I went across there, and while I was there, right, I met some old saints, eh? Saints that were old, and I was like, you know, they were saying, well, as a sister to me, she said, let me take care of some of the saints and whatever. So she crying around to many of the saints. I mean, I was privileged to meet saints, like, you know, the saints we only visit have with the Timothy the colony. I meet them and first with them at length of the experience in the colony and where they went through the first set of believers. I met them personally and spoke with them. And I thank God, I find it was so good to sit down and talk with people like that. Like, the life they live under the colony and the dominion, they used to be, have a real dominion over these people's life and what, and they couldn't go anywhere. They had to ask to go. They had no TV, no radio. They wasn't allowed to see the outside world. They just had to listen to what the man say. The wives never used to have to go to the supermarket. These are all the groceries coming to the house. They can't go. They never used to buy clothes to make everything. And one special outfit they have to wear. It was, they used to get $6 for every 3 months they work. They had a real stuff. And I was asking one sister, I said, well, how you came out? You know, since you're so old into this thing. And but one sister told me that Brother Bissell said, well, this message should have been the colony, because even though they're this way, but yes, on the other side, they are real, they are nice people to be with. They see about your well, that's proper insurance, everything to your life, everything is taken care of. But I sat and I tell myself, I said, Lord, you know, I listen to some of them sisters talking, and they talk about, they don't really talk about Brother Ben, they talk about the words that come out of his mouth, and they'll be saying, oh God, when he comes, he's so good. And I see him together, these people, I tell them, I say, Lord, look at these people, I'm so happy when they hear the word, look at these people behave. I know something like it comes so common to us, that we don't have that kind of zeal, and I tell them, they're talking and testifying, and I just smile, watching them like, oh my God, I say, Lord, help me to love your greater. Help me to love your word greater. And well, we left and we came back home and whatnot, and I had everything to do and sometimes I write things out, and when I come here to say now, it's like, we never went anywhere. Yeah, but as I say, I want to talk about what affects me of the love that the people have. You know, and as long as I listen to when they talk about the gospel and the ministry. Like a sister across there, she said, she calls her husband, he was in Germany. She said, you know, preach tonight, don't you went tonight? She said, Brother Ben. She said, oh my God, you need to send me that message? She was telling you guys what he was saying, right? So I say, you know, I sit and I tell myself, I said, Lord, look how these people love this word. Look how these people love this word. And like I Brother Biscoe make an open statement, as Brother Ken was saying. Well, I mean, the same Sunday morning was awesome. That's all I could say. It was the way my brothers just did it. You didn't know whether to stand up, cry, sit down, talk. You didn't know what to do. Brothers handling. It was like a whole journey, as I cannot say. But like during the journey, he had all the first set of people come to the front of the altar. And then from generation down to generation, they all the whole church almost like everybody else. You say, you know, I have no place for everybody. I mean, let everybody who in the church stand up to identify themselves. And I remember he made a statement, and I think that was very powerful, like Brother Ken was saying. He said, Brother Ben, well, when he preached on an entrance being ministered, and the Sunday night, well, the Sunday morning, he came on, well, I don't think he mentioned that Brother was going to preach, I think so, but nevertheless. The Sunday night when he came back to service now, I say, he came on the pulpit and he started talking to him. He said, Brother Vin has been a real friend to him. He said he has truly been, he said when he went through his hard times, he has been there with him, he listened to him, he encouraged his heart. And what I look at is that it's just in this gospel, like I always say, Lord, it's not what Brother Vin, it's not who the man is, it's what you made of this man. That's what struck me then, how people love him so much. It's not the flesh you're on. I totally haven't seen that. I've seen people love this gospel, the words. It's like, you know, they get on when they hear it. And he came and he said, in front of you, all these hundreds of people and ministers and everything, he said, Brother Vin has been a friend to him. When he had his heart and he stood with him, he stand by him, he understand, he feel his pain. And he said many ministers have blessed his heart, but he said Brother Vin stood tall in his life. And when I heard that, I think that was a really powerful statement making our congregation of ministers standing there. And it's not the man again, it's because of how this man, the gospel this man preached, is the words that he would come from his mouth. And I say, Lord, what he is by the grace of God. It's nothing he has done or anything. And you know, tonight I stand honor tonight to know I can identify myself with a ministry and with a messenger like that. I think I feel honored tonight. And going to Canada, I think was tremendous for me. I think it has been really a blessing to my life to me to understand how people, when they hear this word, how they appreciate it so much. Me to love this word with a greater love. And I want to thank God to tell the saints, love your pastor. But if you're tomorrow, you slip and slide, you can't. That means waiting for him. So God bless you.
Loving, but when we go outside there and see how much value, you know, that people put upon the ministry and come back and testify to us, then we realize how much more valuable it is to us. Amen? Amen.
Well, yeah. Nice to be back home. I'm going to thank you for all the prayers that were sent up on our behalf. It was really felt across there. First of all, as everybody said about what they're doing to ministry and what it's like out there. And like you go over there and, you know, like the saints will be coming and, you know, well, before the convention, you know, everybody will be coming up here and asking you, like, so where are you from? And you say, well, I'm from Canada. And they're like, where is that? You know? And then they ask you, well, where are you fellowship? And you say, well, Brother Vin. They say, oh, it's like, when you say Brother Vin, now, oh, that's Trinidad you're talking about, you know, like, they only know Trinidad by Brother Vin, right? And as they say, our identification is, I mean, they hear us sing and they know our voices and everything, but as it's like just the ministry that is good before it makes our jobs so much more easier. Like, you identify with a ministry like Brother Vin, like, you come to sing, it's like, wow. Just sing, you know? And it's like that happens there, you know? Even one sister, she commented to say, see that David? She said, he's a gentleman. You know, I was so thankful to go on the trip with David. Because, I mean, like, truly, David, you start to get so homesick. And every time you come up to church, David is giving you some new style, some new talk. It's like, I tell him, I said, David, if he wasn't here, I don't know what I would have done. But I think
the way all these sisters and everybody conducted themselves when they were called upon to sing, and the songs that the minister to the saints was like, please, like, after this, they had the church that night, Wednesday, like, the last night, the song leader, he sang, they were like, oh my God, nothing like this has ever happened. They're saying, like, right now, the song leader is on us. He said, right now, I'm trying to teach this church how to clap in time. You know what I mean? I said, I mean, what they like about us too is our soul singing. You know, the Canadian kind of way up north and the cold, right? But when you see the saints and the company just get away and somebody take a mic and Brother Claude walk forward and start to point to everybody, you know, they were like, wow. You know, like still the saints were saying, well, no, we don't want to sing. Let you all sing. We say some kind of, I mean, here it is, I mean, Hibiscus, they cut so much records and so popular all over the world. And they were like, when you see you take a mic and you stand up and you watch them and you start to sing and you ain't afraid nobody, that's like, that is so real and so inspiring to them. And just that alone, you know, like, when they come out of service, like, the saints would just be like, the door, like, adoring you, like, oh my God. Even Timothy sang and all, and they were like, wow, Timothy can sing. As we've been talking about the Sunday service, since it was so touching, because I had to sit in my seat and like the saint, it was only here, people going, everybody pulling up the nose all over the church, and I was like, well, everybody was in tears, and I went through myself, and I said, Lord, I am so emotional. I don't want it to just be plain on my emotions, what it is happening here this morning, because since it was so real, it was so tremendous. And like the last picture they had came over the monitor, it was a picture where he was in the new church, and in the back row there was Brother Vin, and you know, well, I could have seen who my pastor was and all the ministers. That was the first convention that they had, and I was like, Lord, I am identified here. I don't have to feel like it's my emotion, because it was real touching, but I could have said, like, I could identify myself with this, because the prophet said he identified himself when Paul rode around the Liberty Bell and when they went to the moon and everything. And I was like, yeah, when they started in the little log church, I mean, this is my first trip here, but I was back there with them when it happened, right? And whatever happened back there, I am identified with it. And I think the ministry here has made our ministering on wherever we go so easy. Because it's like, as they ask you who's your pastor is Brother Vin, like, it's like they accept you with open arms. And I think Brother Claude, I think the saints fell in love with Brother Claude. So if you all don't really love him. Yes, but I think the saints still are like, Brother Claude. And he, you know, they have a word accord with him, and they say, he's awesome, man, he's awesome. You know, and they're just kind of Brother Claude. And I really started to identify myself with Brother Claude, because saints, when you get so taken about me, Brother Vin said, go and have fun, you know, enjoy yourself. The saints want to take you here, there, and everywhere. Saints, you can't land and stand up. Like, you had to be moving all the time. Everybody, after church, well, across here, what actually could have tired us most is because across there, 10 o'clock is like, no, starting to get dusk. So when you come out of church, 10 o'clock, church done, you look outside, it's still bright. And we are accustomed coming out of church dark, 10 o'clock. So it's like, no, you're not sleeping out, no 10, and it's bright outside. So let's do something, you know, and that's how the saints have you going. And just to be in your company and hear the words. And like, every house saints in London is a piano. And it's like, forget everything, you'll have to sing. Don't even think about nothing, you'll have to sing. It's not even the fellowship, you'll just sing, just open your mouth. Then we like walk in tongue books and they just have a, we go on my, I think one night they took us to this little bonfire, they were roasting marshmallows, saints in the dark, and we tired and we want to go, man, it's like, get the guitar, the Trinidad saints, and get the guitar, man, you know? And it's like, they want us to keep going and going and going and going. And I think when we landed there, I since every time I got up, I don't know if I was homesick because I was starting to get like, oh my God, I want to go home. And everybody was singing, I pack in. Saturday to go, I pack in. I want to go home. And I was like, oh, I want to go home. And but when I landed, I came off with no voice, neck and everything. And this brother, when he was going, he just was singing well. I said, no. Well, I always have a problem with my voice if I go to the cold, like in the park in South Carolina, where it would attack my voice and I wouldn't be able to sing. And the brother, I came and heard where my voice was going and my neck, and I said, what do we have to go through this for 2 weeks again? And the brother just, he said, come here. And we were in the house, we just landed in the house. He said, you not feeling well? I said, my voice and my neck. And he just placed his hands on me and he got around and started to pray. And I was like, okay. And since when I went home, I was like, yeah, everything is all right. And for the 2 weeks, when I was going to have a problem, like, my voice was going to be affected. I wouldn't be able to sing. I was going to have the cold. I mean, Brother Claude and they come in and I had the cold and everything. But like when that brother prayed for me, it was like no more. And I was just there for the meetings and we were just going. And I think we had a really tremendous thanksgiving. We were blessed beyond measure. We were blessed to be saved beyond measure. I have a brother, he says, sister, I just love how you worship. You see that finger? He says the longest finger in the world. They fell in love with us things, but our heart, we're back home. We wanted to come home to you all. And it's really like, you go there and like, I am like, we get up in the morning and like, oh my God, Brother Neville is on the pulpit. Oh, what is doing now, Brother Bishop? I wonder what song Brother Bishop singing this morning. And they come in and like, oh my God, Brother Dyer, oh God, he's by the door this morning. I can imagine. And like, your mind is just back home because, I mean, the order is the same thing. You come in, the ushers, we sit by the door, the song leader comes on, you know, you're singing and everything. And like, your heart is, I mean, you're there and it's praising God, but it's just the love that, I mean, for here. It's like even if somebody come and tell you, they would say like, stay now, stay for the whole summer, stay. I was in Mahadi, stay for the whole summer. I then started packing up, you know. But they fell in love with us and we really, really had a wonderful time. And I think we didn't drop the flag, we kept the flag flying, and our representation there were well appreciated. I think the young men were tremendous, Timmy and David. They really, really loved me. In one service, we didn't have them to stand up. It was like, these two are Brother Vincent and the whole church. When they were standing there, the whole church went like this. You know, they wanted to know, well, wow, who's Brother Vincent? Again, you know, like, the identification. And I think we love you all a lot. And we don't want to go out too much. Because our heart is home, all right? Okay, God bless and thanks again for everything.
Themselves. And I know there's still some who maybe still have a little hangovers from the Canada trip. I think Timothy might be the only one here tonight. And I think he will be one that wrap up everything tonight, you know?
God bless you all tonight. With your name of Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly a privilege to be back home amongst home church, brothers and sisters, not only of like precious faith, but of like precious color. And you know, everybody. I guess you get the impression by now that it was not a bed of roses and it was not just a joyride. I guess everybody implementing that in your heart by now. So I don't have to repeat that.
what I would like to say for me that I cannot really tell you of anybody else's experience, but I can only tell you what I have seen and what I have been witness of. And tonight I just want to share with you a few things that really caught my attention, that I see it in places that where we can improve, not just improve, but you know, God has given us a ministry that, as far as the word, we are not lacking. And they find in different places where they might not be, they might not have to the extent that we would have in that area. In other aspects, they have things that we need. And that is why we together are a bride all over the world, but of like precious faith, and like a body fitly joined together, where each supply it. And I noticed that, you know, in the handling of many things, the natural things, that sometimes we don't seem to have, as one brother was saying, we don't have that drive that we need to have. I think it sometimes it's because of the vision that we have constructed in our minds, that maybe this bride is a limited thing in Trinidad and maybe in Abel country. And many times you find people, they don't get that initiative to go the extra mile. They don't get the initiative to go the extra 2 miles for somebody, you know? And I want to say to young people that there is work to be done. That there's things we can do. As far as what God has given us, we didn't just get up to eat and get fat and then belch and say that tastes good. This strength that we are conserving is to do something. And I think that if you have not found out yet what it is to do, it's time you should find out what you're getting this food for. It's time that you should find out what you're getting this strength for. You know, and even back home this afternoon, you know, David and Dave was talking, you know, he said, the boy, he said, why do you not tell these people, boy? He said, you know, it's a 55 thing, boy. You know, he said, you got testify and say, you are accustomed to that. So I said, boy, me? So Dave said, he said, David, just relax, don't try and fabricate nothing. I listening to Dave for my own self. Huh? So he said, you know, when you reach out there, just tell them, think no thought what you would say. He said, just stand up and wait until the Lord gives you something to say. You know, and for me, the experience I had was not as far as this was the first time moving on a group, and since, let me tell you, it's not a joy ride. It's tough. It's rough. You know, many times, your custom thinking for yourself is a time when you have to change, and I realize there's not just, you can't just be selfish all the time, you know? You have to look out for your brother, look out for your sister, and look out for one another. And it I think for us, it caused a greater unity. It shows how we have to be more unified. Even the saints over there, They think like one mind. They're like a clock. Everybody have a different part to tick, but they're telling the same time. You know? And I think that's the way we should be. You can't just think for ourselves then. As I think Barbara said one time, he was speaking to the young people, you know, we have to be more unified. We have to think for one another. Look out for your brother, look out for your sister. And this was a different trip in the sense that normally, you know, we did not go to bring the gospel as such or to people in that sense, because we went to establish people in the world, knowing the place, knowing the hour, and knowing what is to be done, because they have missionary works in India, in Zaire, in Africa, all over the world, Zimbabwe, places I can't even think about. And what they're doing with some with what they know, like many times we hear about Tobago, Grenada, St. Lucia. Yeah, man, we go do something when the time comes, you know. But you can't stay there. You can't stay there for long. I mean, who knows? It might be the remaining part of the Bible might be there, and that is what God might be waiting for to close the ark. That is what He might be waiting for. You know, it's time for us to expand our vision, to move into that channel where we don't just see Abel country, we don't just see Trinidad, but we see an international bride of Jesus Christ. And that is what I always look for, is to see not always what you could give them. Where you could give, you reach out and you give. But where you see somebody have something that you need, is then you have to capitalize and to humble yourself and to accept that you need that. And because it's not just, as the brothers say, you never see these people before.